Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Midsters Podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most out of your midlife.
Marianne, you and I talk about travel a lot on this podcast, in part because travel was what led us to create a podcast in the first place, and it's something we're both very interested in. But I thought today we would talk a little bit more specifically about the internal benefits, if you will, of travel, because you and I both took really big trips this year that I know from our conversations have been trips that have really affected us deeply and have affected our mindset and our view of the world. So I thought we would sort of focus on that and maybe also talk about other trips we've taken that have had similar impact.
That's true. We did take big trips. And when I say big trip, the culture was so different than the culture that we live in on day to day. And I think that that's what you're alluding to, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, when I came back from my trip to Tanzania, I think, you know, I actually did an art show for my church about that trip. And when I opened the show, one of the things I said is that for me, when I prepare for a trip, I do a little bit of research about where I'm going. I look at pictures. I read some articles. But it never really captures the experience of being in a different country, especially one with such a different culture. And I know it was similar for you because you know, we had some excellent conversations after you got back from Japan.
Right.
About what you saw and experienced in the people there.
The feeling.
Yeah. So tell us about that.
Okay. So Japan, it is very different than the U.S. I mean, there are some things that are alike as well. But I think, and we'll talk more about this, I think, through the podcast. And I want to hear about Tanzania, which I have heard. And yes, same thing. You had some takeaways. It was the culture. It was being in public transportation, like sardines, and respectful of the person standing next to you. Not a phone out, not a word spoken, but letting people just be in their head and be respectful of their space. I was just so taken back by just that. Mm-hmm. So the respect didn't stop there. It's like the bowing, the way they present the food. The respect that they have not only for people but for nature. They don't conquer it. They listen to it. Mm. They walk in it. They teach from it. The respect they have for people, for nature, for history. Like, you're able to go to these beautiful temples, these old gardens, like the trees that are hundreds and hundreds of years old. The respect that they have for history, yet they bring it forward to the present and they bring those lessons learned from it. And I was so enamored, almost romanced, I would say, by that culture.
Romanced is a good word.
Yeah. We were there during cherry blossom season. So talking about romance, it was like pink confetti everywhere. And the parks were full of families. With their picnics and just enjoying, and the kids running around. I will say Tokyo is very different than the rest of Japan. Like, we went through a lot of Japan, the whole southern area of Japan on the coast, and it's bustling, but still they have those moments of silence, like in public transportation. It was unbelievable.
Do you think it has affected how you will carry yourself going forward in our culture?
You know, I thought about that, too. You know, I look at travel. So I used to look at it as kind of an escape from reality, just putting yourself in somewhere different. Now, when I look at travel, I actually look at areas or places with a little research like you do on how I can have some personal growth. And I think that's what you're talking about, mm-hmm. is the personal growth that I took. Yes, I am more mindful of people's space. I've always loved nature, but now I look at how that can be preserved for the next generation in a way I didn't. I know there's a lot of foundations and groups that do that, but now I pay more attention to that. They have an honor system. And I wish in America I could leave an umbrella. I would never take anybody's umbrella, but I've thought about how can our society be more honest? Mm-hmm. Like, what has happened to our society where we don't, I'm not saying there's no honesty, but we don't leave a phone on the table.
Right.
So there's a problem in our society if we fear to walk to the bathroom or walk to go get a drink or a waitress and fear that our phone won't be there. And so what can I do in this society, and with the people around me to foster more of that? I don't know the answer, but that would be one of the things I walked away from with.
That sense of respect for others, mm-hmm. that's also part of that trust, right? Like you trust other people because you know they respect you.
Right.
And that is a beautiful thing. I felt a little bit similar in the sense of respect in Tanzania because, as you know, we were going to visit a small village in central Tanzania, a rural village, which was part of a church mission trip. And then we also went into the Serengeti and did a safari.
Fabulous.
It was really fabulous. So both of the things you're talking about, sort of the respect for nature and the respect for other people, I also saw, and it really struck me as being so unusual. But for the respect for people part, this was the one thing that really resonated with me. When we met with the people in the village, everybody was sitting in sort of a big circle, and we were sort of talking about what developmental needs this village has. And I was just blown away because as individual people spoke, so a question would be thrown out to the group and there would be silence for a moment and everyone was waiting to see who was going to respond. And then someone would slowly stand up and they would wait a moment to make sure nobody else was going to stand up and that they had the floor. And then they would speak. And then when they were done speaking, there would be some silence and then they would sit down. And I thought, it was so crazy to me because in every meeting I've ever been to, at work, at church, anywhere else, everybody can't wait to speak. It's like they step over one another to get their words
talk over.
Yeah, exactly. And here it was more about respect, like giving people the full opportunity to have their say and to let their words resonate with the listeners before the next person spoke. And I thought it was like, wow, why can't we do that? We're always in such a hurry.
I think that's part of it. And we are on autopilot. Like hurriedness is a great way to explain it. I think our brains are so wired to move within seconds. I mean, fractions of seconds, just moving. I think that's why I like nature so much.
Because it slows everything
down. It doesn't talk to you.
Right. Exactly right.
It speaks to me.
But it doesn't
talk to me, right?
Exactly right. And also at least in, certainly not the case in Japan, but in Tanzania, nobody has a cell phone, right? There's very little technology. The only TV was in the pastor's house. The only folks who had phones used them for, actually for online financial transactions, which was kind of wild. But nobody's using it to play video games, watch TikTok, call their friends, text anybody. That doesn't happen. So consequently, they're more present in the moment.
Right.
And time is elongated in a way that it isn't for us. Mm-hmm. And also, because they don't have those distractions, there was like just this innate sense of community. And from that sense of community, joy.
Oh, my gosh.
That I totally wasn't anticipating. But it knocked my socks off.
I saw it in the photography of yours. And we have a mutual friend that used to talk about going to Africa and Ethiopia. And like the individuals had innate joy. They woke up in the morning with the biggest smile on their face, not knowing if they were going to have clean water. They didn't have shoes on their feet. They didn't have medical services. But they had joy. Getting back to like the hurriedness in life and comparing these cultures as well, like we were talking about how we talk over each other and just keep going. I think we're so self-consumed.
Yeah,
right?
I think you're right. I think you're right. There was definitely a different sense of community. And I think that's kind of touching on what you felt
it
and
is.
Also than we have at home. And, you know, we're, you know, the American brand, if you will, is individualism. And I think there's something to that. It's good to be able to be your own person.
Right.
But there's also something about the gift of community.
I agree.
And I definitely felt in the village in Tanzania that everything operated at a community level. People shared what they had to say because they thought perhaps their words would resonate with the community and would help enlighten the community in some way, as opposed to, I just want to have my say. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Well, I think here in America, and we're probably all guilty of it at points in our lives, it's important to us what we say, not what we hear.
That's exactly right.
And that, I think, is an issue that we're feeling in our society right now, politically, mm-hmm. right? Not, we don't talk politics, but we want to say, but we don't want to hear.
Yeah.
And that is what brings community together. It is that exchange. And it's beautiful when it happens.
It really is. And there's a whole culture built around listening, mm-hmm. right? Listening to other people, listening to nature. Yeah. So, you know, the second part of our trip in the Serengeti, just seeing how the animals interacted, like, yeah, lions will kill other animals to eat them, but they don't kill just to fight.
Right.
And they don't really, you know, they're not going to go in conflict with other creatures on the plane just for the sake of getting in conflict.
No.
And
it's survival.
It's survival. But survival also involves letting other things live.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, they're not bothering you.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that.
No.
Right? We're in conflict all the time. The last night we were in Africa, in Tanzania, when we were on the safari part, there were a group of young men that were operating the bush camp that we stayed in. So we stayed in basically tents in the middle of the Serengeti. Mm. And they did a performance for us at dinner, which was very unexpected. They danced, they sang. It was super cool. Like there were 9-10 guys that were running this camp. And then one of them gave a little speech. And what he said was like, there are something like 120 different tribes in Tanzania. And he pointed out that each of the 9 or 10 men that were working this camp were from different tribes. And he said, you know, as different tribal identities, we have different primary languages, we have different cultures, mm-hmm. but we also have a lot of similarity because throughout the country, we do many things the same. We tend, he said, to look at what we have in common to operate this camp for you rather than what we have, you know, that's different. And he said, you know, look out on the plain and you'll see all the animals coexisting. That's Africa. Mm-hmm. And he said, it will teach you everything. And I really thought about that. Like, what did I learn? And I think what I learned was coexistence requires a certain amount of sacrifice of self.
Right.
Like, you have to put your ego aside to coexist with other people.
Yep.
And really let a little bit of them into your space, which is something we don't do.
That's the self-absorbed piece I was talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I don't think we have to go to faraway places either to have takeaways. It is important for me to see things. Like, I want to see things. But more importantly now, in my late 50s, is not just to see things, but more importantly, to see what changes me in a good way. Like, that is so important. Personal growth is so important. And I think that if we don't explore other people, other things, then we can't grow in the way that is will move us forward,
mm-hmm.
right? And you and I have traveled a lot. You have a lot with your family and in girls travel. I'm going to talk a little bit about the girls travel too right now. We go to a place called Smith Island. It's small. It has less than 300 people in it. It's not far for us. A lot of people live in areas where they might go camping that's close and not costly. But to sit in that and to take what it can give you, not just to see, but it allows you to be in your head. It allows you to see how people live around you. The simplicity of life, like not just going to a city, but choosing these areas, the simplicity of life in other cultures, and I'm talking in the state of Maryland, but a totally different culture. I've learned from that over the years. And we've gone 3, 4, 5 times. And we go because what we leave with. Yes, there's some beautiful photographic opportunities. But to me, I leave wanting to come back to these people. You know, I don't agree in everything that they think about or their mindset in every single way. But they've got something right. And I want that right in my life.
I think part of it is, again, for me, I'm focused on community. And I think that was kind of the theme that I took away from this summer. At a place like Smith Island, where, you know, it is a small community.
Right.
And there isn't a lot of outside influence because they're kind of remote. You have to get there by boat. Mm-hmm. And not many people go other than islanders who live there, right?
Right.
Or their families. It's not a huge tourist place, in other words. So community is everything. When your focus is on community rather than self, it brings you to a different place.
Mm-hmm.
I like to travel, not just internationally, but also within the United States. You know, it's one of my goals to hit all 50 states. And in a meaningful way, can't just pass through, have to spend the night, experience some of the hospitality and culture of the place in order to check it off my list. And it's not just a checklist. It's because when I go to different places in different states, it reminds me of what we have in common.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the United States is one big community formed of ever smaller concentric circles of community. And when you sort of see that and experience that, it affects how you interact with different people.
It's true. I think listening to you, because I know community is very important to you. It is to me too. And thinking about listeners, how do people get involved with the mindset of community? I always volunteered. I had kids, you know, was part of the PT, all that kind of stuff, developing community. But I think that now with technology and we're on our phones and those kind of things, I think community and knowing how to take something away from that community is starting at the dinner table even.
Mm-hmm.
Opening up conversations with your family, practicing, listening, and what you can get from just that small. And then it can expand to whether it's churches, whether it's volunteerism, and then to travel. But if you put yourself in the mindset of being able to open yourself up to others, to listen, to get involved, to take away, the rewards are incredible.
I absolutely agree. And I think part of that is to comprehend that listening, that a conversation doesn't have to be transactional, right?
Shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. I can listen to you and hear you and think about what you're saying. I don't have to give anything up to do that. It's not a who's winning this conversation.
Right.
I can do, at the end of the conversation, I can decide to disagree with everything you've said, but I've listened to you and heard you. And I would like you to do the same for me. That's all it is.
Right.
I also think a big antidote to sort of what ails us right now, because social media is the way we interact, it is travel. It is like, leave your community, go to a different city. It can be, you know, we live in Northern Virginia. Go to Richmond for a weekend.
Right.
And when you're there, when you go out to dinner, talk to the server that is taking care of your table. Find out about their life. Interact with people. Get to know people on a personal basis again. Because our relationships are so removed. It's all behind a screen.
Yeah.
And, you know, that just takes away this need to listen and build community.
Right.
Because you're not really, when you're looking at a screen, you're not there to communicate in a real way.
No. You know, we live in Northern Virginia. I'm not saying anything bad about the DC area. There's so many rewards in it. But it is high pressure and it is like pedal to the metal. And I love just going 45 minutes away to the Chesapeake Bay, an hour away to the Chesapeake Bay.
Right.
Because taking yourself out of that environment, and for people, for listeners, it can be their work environment that's just like crazy. So take a walk later or find, go camping, but find a place where you can just be in your own head. So yes, listening to yourself is also important.
Absolutely.
I think I told you one time, which is so true, maybe in a podcast, you know, people are so obsessed with influencers. and how somebody might change their mind or something, or lead them in a direction that may save them or help them experience something. I want to be my own influencer. I am my own influencer. I love sitting in my own head. And I think travel does that as well. I think that once you get away, and I don't want to call it an escape because it's not an escape to me. It is about personal growth. And we can do that anywhere. Just like you said, I mean, it doesn't, you don't have to go far.
Yes. And I actually find when I travel, because I'm out of my comfort zone and out of my box that I live in when I'm here, I just do see the world differently. I experience it differently. I look for different things than I look for in my day-to-day life, right? Creature comforts actually become less important. I have good friends that, like, they love to travel. They have to stay in a really nice hotel that has a gym, you know, all the creature comforts of home. I don't want any of that when I travel. I want to actually explore myself outside of my boundaries because that's what makes me grow.
I think that's great. Yeah, no, it's true, right? I think that's the challenge in it as well.
Exactly, exactly.
So,
And I will say,
I need more than probably you a little bit.
Well, I was going to say, I will say there were a lot of physical challenges to
Tanzania.
Yeah. Being in the village was challenging. The food was different. The facilities were different. There's no plumbing. You know, you had to kind of really stretch yourself. But that also makes you appreciate what you have when you come home in a way that I think, like, we can easily start looking at what we're lacking.
Yeah.
But when you travel and you come back and you realize, like, other people don't have things we take for granted.
Right.
It makes you not take them for granted.
Yeah, that's true. You know, another thing about travel, we're all from somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
So traveling, I go to Scotland. You've gone to Scotland with me as well. That's a different kind of takeaway for me. When I go to Scotland, I think about the clan I come from. It taps into a piece of me that also is some personal growth. It makes me want to listen to music of the Highlands. It evokes an emotion in me and a connection with a place I've never lived, visited many times, but never lived. And so there's not only growth, but there's a piece of me I try to grab back that goes back to my ancestry. And I think that's neat. So for listeners and for anyone, I mean, some people from Boston, some people from California, some people from Mexico. So spending time, if you have an opportunity to travel there and just sit in that and think about your ancestors and where you came from, I think is rewarding as well.
I think that's really a great thought. Yeah.
It evokes emotion.
It sure does.
And connection.
It's funny because, and I was just talking about this with my husband I just also got back from London because my daughter moved there. And London resonated with me in a way that I didn't expect, right? I kind of had a view of London just from watching British TV,
right,
et cetera. That was not at all what London was like. When the first time I went to Montreal, resonated with me in a way that I didn't expect. But I had been to other places that didn't resonate with me at all. And so it's a little different from the heritage piece.
Right.
But part of the thing I like about traveling is finding those places where, for some reason, my soul feels to connect.
Mm-hmm.
And I then have to spend some time thinking about, what is it about this place that feels so right to me?
Right.
You know?
Almost familiar.
Almost familiar.
Like, I've gone to Turkey. I've gone to Greece. I've gone to the UAE. I take away things, but I don't feel connected.
Exactly. So when you find a place where you feel connected, it really makes you reflect on, what part of my soul is this reaching?
Yep.
And that opens up a whole nother part of yourself.
Well, it's a spiritual
experience.
Piece.
It is.
It's a spiritual piece. And I think that when we can feel our soul in a spiritual way, it's very rewarding as well. You know, I have to just toot your horn for a minute. Your photography from in Tanzania, and including the safari, but really when you were in the village, the way you captured the glimmer in the eyes, the joy in the cheeks, the video of the singing and the dancing, you could tell that you were in it. You were, and honestly, I wasn't there, but I could tell you were in awe of the moment.
You captured it.
The pictures are just unbelievable, the photography. You captured the essence of that village.
The interesting thing about you saying that, and I appreciate, thank you for the compliment. I was so conscious of not being intrusive with my camera. So I was the only one who was actually carrying a camera as opposed to an iPhone. Actually, I take that back. One other person had a camera. But I was very conscious of not being there to take pictures of people. We were supposed to be there to be in relationship. And I love photography, as you know. So it was a real challenge to kind of hang back and not have my camera in everyone's face the whole time I was there.
Right.
And then one of the gentlemen that accompanied us as an interpreter, he's a priest in Tanzania. He said, you know, it's absolutely okay. Take pictures. They love it. They want to see themselves. But once you show them the picture, they're okay with you taking photos. And then we went to a meeting of this community group in the village. And when we stepped outside of the meeting, one of the men that was in the meeting came up to me. Of course, we can't speak. He speaks Swahili. I speak English. But he took his iPhone out and pointed at it and indicated he wanted a selfie with me.
Aww.
And after that, I felt unleashed, you know,
right.
Just take pictures at will.
Yeah.
But it was because the photography became more about interacting with the people than it did about taking photographs. So I appreciate what you're saying. I think part of what you're seeing is that, like, relationships were being built through those photographs.
The photography, I can't speak enough about it. When I went to Japan, I didn't take a camera. I took my phone, and I have some great images. I love my images. But I chose to leave it at home to immerse myself in the culture and spend time with my husband, like not be detoured. But I wish I had taken my camera. There wasn't a lot of them. And I didn't see people on their phones. It was very different. The same thing that you did, but your photography is amazing.
So, you know, traveling sometimes requires that you go with intention.
Right.
When we went to Scotland, that was a photography trip.
It was.
But Japan for you was not a photography trip. Africa for me really wasn't either. I ended up documenting a lot of things because it was more about capturing the experience to share with my church community when I came back. But like, you need to set an intention when you travel so that you're not just kind of all over the place in your mind and you can focus on what's important to you and what you want to take home from it. Right. And sometimes that just is a feeling or an experience.
And for me it was, but I do want to go back with my camera.
What else is on your travel agenda? Where else do you think you would want to go and why?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we are going to Galapagos Islands in January. And I want to go there because it's one of the first places my husband had ever talked about wanting to go. And the nature and the photography. So I would say that. Places I haven't gone that I want to is I've never been to Italy.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I've never been to Italy.
Girl, we got to go.
Yes. And the reason that I want to go to Italy, I know food probably comes to mind to most people. I'm not going to say deny that. But more than that, my soul is filled and there's a contagious peace, for me anyway, of being around people that are smiling, animated, talking with their hands, just full of life. You happen to be from Italy. And I just kind of described you. So I want more of that. So I want to go. Yes, there's things to see. I want to go to Rome. There's things to see. Wine to drink. But more than that, I want to be immersed in that feeling, in that community, that beautiful word you like to use and that is so important to you and is to me. I want to be in that. So that's why I want to go to Italy. I want to go to Florence for the art. I mean, there's other things. Mm-hmm. But in general, I want to walk away with this feeling of being filled up knowing what an Italian community is like. So that would be one on my list.
That's a great one. And I definitely think
we
can make that happen.
You have connections.
Well, you know, I actually want to go. I've been to Italy, but I have not been to the part of Italy that my ancestors are from. And as you know, all four of my grandparents came from Italy.
Right.
And they all came from southern Italy. I know the specific villages that they came from. And it's one of my goals to go and spend a little time in each of those villages. They're small. But I think it would be very rewarding. For what you said earlier, like reconnecting with heritage, I think that it will resonate with me, but we'll see.
Well, you are learning Italian.
I am learning Italian. I'm also like working on seeing if I can get Italian citizenship.
That would be fantastic.
I just think it would be a cool sort of full circle experience.
It has been for me with the dual citizenship. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I've always had it.
I've always had it
because I was born there. But it allowed me over these 50-something years to actually feel connected to a country I've never lived in. It's a really interesting perspective in how you actually feel and hold that. Like, I hold that. Even though I know I'm American, I didn't step foot in this country until I was almost 10 years old.
Right. And I would like to hold that as part of my individual life experience in this world. I have Italian ancestry. I'd like to have that connection.
There is a belonging there.
Yeah. And then the other place I want to go, which is also a little bit of a belonging kind of thing, my daughter-in-law, as you know, is from Australia.
Right.
And I just want to see where she's from. I adore her.
Yeah.
And I want to know her better. And I think going to Australia to see the country that shaped her would be a rewarding experience.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I know you'll do that.
I hope so. I mean, it's kind of far away.
It is far away.
But if I take a 31-hour trip to get to Africa, I think I can do it to go to Australia.
So photography-wise in travel, do you have anything that you want to photograph with that intention around the world that you haven't?
I actually, you know, I mentioned the 50 states that I want to see all 50 states, and I've seen a lot. I think I'm 37. I kind of want to finish the remaining states, but I want to focus on photography and then maybe go back through the ones that I've already been in and really focus on photography, trying to find images that capture for me the culture of that particular state.
Yeah, you could do that.
I think I could. Yeah. Again, you know, like I'm not getting younger, but my husband and I want to take a drive out west, do like a northern route, spend some time with Harry in California, and then southern route back. So that would give me time to sort of see everything.
I don't know how many states I've gone to, but I will say I'm enamored about other states, and I have been since I was a kid. Like, we used to, on road trips, count up all the different state license plates. Mm-hmm. Like, how many? And you're always interested in that state because you're interested in that license plate. But to switch that to, you know, get to know the culture or the people would be fun too. Yeah.
Well, we will probably at some point have another podcast revisiting additional places we've been to and the experiences we've had. But I think it was good today to kind of talk about our takeaways and to encourage listeners, you don't have to go to Japan or to Tanzania, but find a place that you think might resonate with your heart and your soul and go immerse yourself. See where it takes you. So we'll see where this conversation has taken our producer, Elizabeth, who always has great questions.
When you travel and witness cultures that prioritize silence, respect, and space in conversation, how does that reshape the way you think about communication back home?
It definitely touches me in a way, or puts me in I try to put myself in more alignment of that, taking that away and sitting in silence and listening and learning from somebody else's perspective, but also giving them a sense of respect. Almost like a boundary. When I talked about the example of the transportation, I've always not liked talking on my phone in front of other people. I pretty much won't anymore. So that's just one small piece.
I think for me, like watching, I talked about the meeting where everybody sort of took their turn and listened to everyone else. It makes me mindful that I have to model that for other people, and that the first thing and the only thing I can really control is my own behavior. So I need to show up to conversations more present, more respectful, more deliberate, and a little bit more paced a little bit better. I tend to talk really fast and talk over other people. I need to control me and bring to my interactions what I saw there, because that might encourage other people to give me the same respect that I'm trying to give to them.
I talk over too. I'm really trying.
It's so hard. It's so hard.
It's because our brains are just so fast.
Yeah. And because we live in a culture where people don't respect other people or their opinions. And
we just want to say.
Exactly. We got to get our word in. Otherwise, we're going to be overrun. Well, maybe we won't get our say, but we could let what someone else says influence us. It's not going to hurt us.
I think that's why I'm drawn to older people. Mm. I think maybe it's wisdom that brought them there, but they're good listeners. And when they do speak, it's wise.
Yeah, and purposeful.
It is. And maybe age is a piece of that as well.
I think you're right, actually.
Yeah.
As photographers, how do you balance capturing a moment with truly living in it?
Some of it is kind of, it is reflective of the conversation about listening better. And I really had to think about that in Tanzania. First of all, you could take 1,000 images of the same thing and just have your camera up, click, 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 click. When have you got enough? When is it enough? And usually it's like really the first shot. If you take the time to set up your shot, you're going to spend a whole lot less time shooting and then and a whole lot more time experiencing, because you could take your image to capture it and bring it home and then put your camera down and actually be in the moment. Mm-hmm. And be a little more aware and perceptive of what's happening in front of you. So if another specific moment comes up that you want to capture, great. But just spraying and praying that you get great images, you're not in the moment at all. So I've actually been very conscious of that. I was very conscious of that when we were on safari, because I was like, I don't want to come home with 5,000 images that I have to call through. If I see a herd of elephants, I'm going to wait till I get a great shot of a herd of elephants instead of 500 pictures of the same herd.
Yeah.
So being more deliberate, being more present, being more intentional, I think really helps both with speaking and with photography.
I think when I think about taking an image or a picture of something, it's because it's evoked my emotion. There's something there. So I let that resonate for a moment and then I'll take the picture and then I'll let it resonate again. I won't take a million pictures of the same thing. They both are so equally important to me. And I like photography in a way, that mostly actually because it changes my lens. But it only changes my internal lens of the way I see something, because I will sit in it for a moment and let it change me.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.